Blog Talk Radio.
I worship you. You are here.
Supernatural in my finances. Thank you. Rejoice and rejoice. Hallelujah. In your family, it is great. In your family, in your marriage, it is great. On your job, it is great. In your health, it is great. In your bank account, it is great. That is what God says. It is well with your soul. It is well, it is well, it is well. You got to proclaim what the Lord is saying. The enemy is saying that you are having hard times. The enemy is saying that you will die. But God said you shall not die, but you shall live to declare the works of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Here we come again on another Sunday morning, a blessed Sunday morning. How do you know it's blessed? Because you are alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are alive. You are breathing this sweat, this sweet air that God has given you to breathe this morning. You can drink coffee, you can drink tea, you can have whatever you want to have because God has already provided it in this day for you. So it is great, it is great. There's no need to complain. There's no need to be in a pity party. There's no need to worry. Somebody didn't wake up this morning. Somebody is in the hospital fighting for their life. Somebody's in a jail cell for life. Hallelujah. No, don't have a clue what's going on the outside. Hallelujah. But you are here. You are alive. So it is great. It is great. You may not have any money in your pocket, but it's great. Hallelujah. Your money is on the way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we are just thanking God. We are praising God. We are excited about God, about all the great things that God is doing in our lives, how he is keeping us in the land of the living. In the midst of darkness, God is shining his light on us. So we are so excited. We are delighted, oh God, for God has chosen us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. To be in this day. We are going to be doing part two of this message, the rebels and abomination after abomination, the rebellion and abomination and abomination after abomination. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we see all of this stuff going on. Some people, I was just looking at YouTube, and one politician was saying that it came out of the mouth of Obama. All that is going on right now, he spoke it at the meeting, and I mean the sinful thoughts that are coming out of these politicians' mouth, and people are so blind. People are going for people because they're black, because they're red, because they're yellow. You ought not vote for anybody because they're a black person or they're a white person or a yellow person. You ought to, especially if you're a Christian, especially if you are a believer in Christ Jesus, you ought to be voting because of your conviction of how the person live, how the person treat other people, how they treat the community. Hallelujah. What type of person they are. What is their agenda? This is all the stuff you should be looking at. Not because somebody know how to release the word out of their mouth. They know how to release all of this highfalutin speeches and make you so, oh, he's a great speaker. She's a great speaker. But how are they living? That's what you should be talking about. How are they living? Is their lifestyle pleasing God? Hallelujah. You should be asking yourself these things. Glory to God. Ezekiel, Father, we just thank you and praise you this morning for this awesome anointed word that you have given us to teach on for a while. Lord, we ask, oh God, as the word go forth, Lord, even that is my esophagus is feeling sore this morning. I don't know what's going on today, but maybe my glands is acting up. But Lord, we ask, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that you soothe them right now, that you cause them to, oh God, the rawness that's in them to be soothed right now. Be healing power of Gilead to rest upon them. And Father, let me speak this word with power. with authority and with fire, just like Apostle and Bishop preached their word on yesterday. Let this word that come out of my mouth, Lord, be like fire, like a with a sickle, with a two-edged sword. As it go forth, let it cut people, cut us all, starting with me first. Let it cut me first, O God, that I might be able to deliver what you have given to me. And here, we come in here a second time from the book of Ezekiel. And Ezekiel began to speak in judgment. This is what he's speaking, judgment. I hear Deacon Fritter said the other day that a lot of people don't want to hear about judgment. And that's true. Most people, most believers are churchgoers. Let's say it this way. Most churchgoers don't want to hear about judgment. I'm not going down to that church, because every time I go down there, the preacher, she gets up, he gets up, and all they're talking about judgment. They're talking about sin. They're talking about condemnation. They're talking all this stuff. I want to go someplace where they're talking about prosperity, how they're talking about blessings. Well, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what can you give in exchange for your soul after you gain all that stuff? All the diamonds, all the gold, all the silver, all the cars, all the houses, all the yachts, the planes, and all that stuff, and all the land you have that you have your name signed to. You can't give anything in exchange for your soul. After you are in that grave, you can't take from the grave. Will somebody go down to the bank account and have my accountant, have my lawyer go down there and write a check. He can write the biggest check he wants to write for me so I can get out of this place that I'm heading to. Lake of fire and brimstone. No, you can't do it. Can't do it. Doesn't matter. That's why when you don't have any money in your pocket, you can still rejoice and give God glory. You can still give him praise because you know that your heavenly bank account is secure. It is secure. Hallelujah. You have been sown righteousness. You have been sown holiness. Your lifestyle have already made deposits for you in heaven. It didn't always make deposits. But after you receive Jesus, after you give your life to Jesus and ask Jesus to come into your heart, as Bishop James Washington do the prayer, and you receive the good news of the gospel, you say, well, I'm beginning to walk, I'm walking for Jesus. You start making deposits. Deposits start being made for you in heaven. The moment you receive him and you start walking for him, deposits are beginning to be made in heaven for you. Hallelujah. Do you hear me today? Glory to God. Let me see who this is. Put it up in front of the house. Let me see what's going on. So we thanking God and we praising God. We glorifying God because Ezekiel is speaking the same word. We speak the same word a lot on Blog Talk Radio about judgment, about sin. We speak against sin. We're not in love with sin. We are in love with the sinners, but we're not in love with sin. Hallelujah. We're not in love with sin. The thing is that we have to speak. We got to say what God is saying.
Amen.
When you begin to say what God is saying, you begin to activate what God wants activated in your fear, in your atmosphere. You understand? When we begin to speak what God is saying, speaking, hallelujah, things start to happen for us. Hallelujah, glory to God. Sometimes you driving. And you're not able to even hold the steering wheel. You can't see what's going on the road. Glory to God. But all of a sudden, something happened in the car. There's an angel steps in and in there and started driving. She can't feel him, but he's driving. She's driving and bringing you home because you're speaking. You're saying what God say to say. Hallelujah, not what you want to say. So here, the Bible says Ezekiel begin to speak again in chapter 21. And my narration says that once again, Ezekiel acts out his message of judgment. Once again, that means that he did it before. He spoke judgment to the people of God by God's instructions. The problem is that we're saying, the people are saying that, oh, we want to hear a good message from the pastor next week. I hope next Sunday when the pastor comes that he have a good message for the church. If the pastor come up there and start speaking judgment, they ain't coming back. They say, I don't know what's going on with my pastor because my pastor not speaking like he used to speak. He don't have those happy-go-lucky messages anymore. Because all of a sudden the pastor begins to hear from God. Now, most of them didn't like Ezekiel. Why? Because Ezekiel was a prophetic preacher who preached what God says. Hallelujah. He preached judgment. Most of his messages was about judgment to the people of God. God told him to go talk to him. He didn't go down on his own. God said, go down. Listen to, he said, once again, once again, once again. Ezekiel acts out his message of judgment. What he does, he groans. He says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, set your face. Chapter 21 of Ezekiel covers Jerusalem. That stuff covers where my people are. The city where my people are, and direct your prophetic word against the holy places. Prophesy against the land of Israel. That's where the people are. Glory to God. Most of these preachers today are preaching a word of prosperity. Most of them. Hallelujah. They're not preaching judgment. They're not preaching against sin. They say if I preach against sin, that means I don't love the people. That's not true. You don't love the action. You're not in love with the action, what they're doing. Hallelujah. You're preaching for them to live. Where you preaching prosperity, you're preaching death to them people. Because all they're thinking about is what they can have out the world. They're not thinking about what they can get after the world. When you're preaching righteousness and holiness, you're preaching what they can have after they leave this world. And he said to the land of Israel, thus says the Lord. Thus says, this is what the Lord is saying. This is what Ezekiel said. This is what the Lord is saying. Behold, I am against you, and I will draw forth my sword out of my sheath. I will cut off from you both the righteous and the wicked. Now, see that? That's why we got to be careful where we're dwelling. You got to be careful of where you're dwelling, who you're dwelling with. Because God said to the man of God that he would draw out his sword, his out of the sheath, out of the holder, or the holster. That's the sheath. And he would cut off from a mouth, cut off both the righteous and the wicked. He's not spraying nobody. Anybody not? Yeah, look, we got to be careful. People going sitting down, and you saying, I'm going down to the carnival. In my country, they call it the carnival. And here in Louisiana, Georgia, Florida, New York City, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where they have carnival, They call it the Mardi Gras. They call it Mardi Gras. You're going down there, you know you are a believer, strong believer in Christ. You love the word. You even live the word. But here, you are in the midst of the Mardi Gras, the music playing, people dancing half naked, the breasts out, the boobs are showing, the butt is out, all this stuff. They just got a bare little string in front of the vagina, and the guy, a little thing in front of his piston, and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, there's a giant earthquake. God decided he's going to destroy New York City or all the other cities that I call because of the sin and the idolistic workings that are going on in those cities. What do you think going to happen? Right. You're going down too. Because he said, so I'm going to cut off both the righteous and the wicked. That's why we're not going down to Mardi Gras. We're not going to carnival and walking around looking and saying, well, look at they're throwing the bees. They're throwing the bees. They're throwing the flowers. You're not dancing. You're just walking around as observing what's going on. God says, no, if you're dead, I'm going to cut you off too. That's what God said. It's right here in the word. If you're dead with God, he said, I'm going to cut you off too. You're righteous. God didn't say you was unrighteous. He said, I'm going to cut off both the righteous and the wicked. Listen to what he says. Excuse me. Because I will cut off from you both the righteous and the wicked. Therefore, shall my sword go out of its sheath against all flesh, not some. He said all flesh, from the south to the north. Jesus Christmas. God said he going to cut off all flesh. That's why we got to, Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, watch in prayer. Lest you fall into temptation. Watch in prayer. You'll find that so many preachers this morning, God dropped a word in my spirit, and it was a prayer. And what the Lord said, he said to me, he removing the corruption from the church and from the political arena. That's what God told me this morning.
Amen.
I'm laying on my bed. He says he's going to remove the corruption. And the first thing what he said to me is from the church. That's his house. From the church and from the political arena. People think God's playing. God is not going to play. God is not playing. God means business. But they don't want to hear a message like this because this message is a message of fire and judgment. You better listen to it. No, don't wait till you get in the fire. Lick and brimstone. It'll be too late. And when you hear it, ask God to forgive us. Let God forgive me because I don't want to walk in that path. I walk in that path before, and you saved me. You drew me out of darkness and bring me into your marvelous light. Lord, don't let me slip back in darkness. That we got to pray. He says, all living shall know, understand, and realize that I, the Lord, have drawn my sword out of its sheath. It shall not be sheathed anymore. Listen to what God's saying. He said, all the living shall know, understand. I'm coming out with the Amplified Bible. And realize that I, the Lord, have drawn my sword, his sword, out of the sheath, out of the holster. And it shall not be sheathed. He's not putting it back. That's what he thinks. God's going to be cutting from left to right, from north to south, from east to west. These folks think that they're going to get away with their sin, their sinful agendas, their sinful lifestyle. No, you're not going to get away. I'm sending this word out to the north, the south, the east, and the west. You're not going to get away. If you don't repent, God is long-suffering. Yes, God has given us time to repent and turn from our sinful ways. He said, if we do, he will hear from heaven. He'll forgive our sins and heal our land. People are busy doing their own things. And God's been coming for 2,000 years, and they haven't seen him yet. So they continue doing. You know, back in the early books of Ezekiel, the people said they continue to do this stuff. In chapter 8, so they're doing this. Ah, God can't see us. God can't hear us. We keep on doing our stuff. God is somewhere in Hawaii. You know, he's on a field trip or somewhere. That's what people are saying. God is sleeping. The Bible says he neither slumber nor sleep. But folk are acting like God is somewhere having a coconut drink on the Caribbean on the beach. No, God is sitting high. He's looking low. He's looking at everything that we're doing down here that's not like not of his agenda. It's not of his direction. It's not of his commandments. Not of his laws. He's watching everything. That's what he's saying. Glory to God. I'm telling you, God is God means business. He's not putting back that sword. And if he got that sword out, that means he means business. If you see a cowboy, if you was in the Western, you see, you know, we call them cowboys back in the country. But, you know, watch a Western, and you see the sheriff, or you see the leading actor coming down through the town, and he got his guns out. You know, he mean action. People start running. You ever see watch a Western? And you see the man coming down, he walking down through the town, and he got the two guns up, and he got his hands up with them two guns. Everybody running. They're running, hiding behind bars and hiding behind buildings. Running. Why? Because they know he mean business. He got his guns in his hands. God has his sword in his hand. It's not in the sheath. He means business. We ought to be running to repentance, asking God to forgive us. He told Ezekiel to mourn, sigh, therefore, son of man, and breathing heart. He said, sigh, son of man, with breathing heart and with bitterness shall you sigh before their eyes. Ezekiel is mourning. Besides the mourning sound, he's putting out a mourning sound because he know God is going to destroy the people. He know the people have a rebellious spirit, stiff-necked, hard-hearted, and they will not repent. And Ezekiel know that because they're hard-hearted, stiff-necked, and stubborn, that God is going to destroy them. People today doing their own thing, doing what feels good to them, what seems good, what turns them on. They're doing it. Kids are walking around half-naked now, 19, 20, 21 years old, half-naked. They're getting their bellies full of coal. Because they're wearing this thing out of a frock or something. They call it a frock or something. It's half. It's just below their breast and the whole belly out. Exposed to the climates. One time it's hot, one time it's cold. And they're getting sick. My granddaughter was saying that tell me yesterday, said, oh, she has a cold. I said, you need to put on some more clothes. You need to put on some more. Oh, Grandpa, this is how the young people dress. I said, this is what's going to kill the young people. They're going to have early arthritis in their joints because they're not dressing fully dressed. They're half dressing. Keeping up with the Joneses. No, he can begin to say, and it shall be that when they say to you, why do you sigh? Why are you mourning? That you should answer because of the tidings. When it comes, every heart will melt, and all hands will be feeble, and every spirit will faint, and all knees will be weak as water. Behold, it comes, and it shall be fulfilled, says the Lord God. He could say he is weeping because of the things that he knows that's coming, the tidings, the things that God has shown him. People don't believe the prophet anymore, the prophet, because there have been too many people prophesying instead of prophesying, and people don't believe when the prophets talk anymore. They say, I heard that before. You said this last week or last number 2 months ago, and I haven't seen anything. Well, we got record. We got record as the prophet of God. We went into the hospital and prophesied the true prophecy inside the hospital. Hallelujah. And we see God raise up people up the hospital.
Yes.
And doctors are laughing when we speak the word, when we spoke the word that God said, not what that we want to say. Because we already asked God that if we speak a word that he didn't tell us to say, cause our tongues to cleave to the roof of our mouth and never let us speak another word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, tell to the prophet, son of man, prophesy and say, thus says the Lord, say, a sword is sharpened and also polished. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The sword is sharper than its polish. What is he saying? The sword of Babylon is sharpened that it may make a slaughter. It's polished that it may flash and glitter like lightning. Shall we then rejoice and make mirth when such a calamity is impending? Ezekiel said, why are you rejoicing? Why are you rejoicing when such a disaster, dilemma is hanging over your head? Hallelujah. We are hearing this word coming to us every single day from Blog Talk Radio. And people say, I ain't going over there to Blog Talk Radio because they be showing that to us and telling us this stuff, or this judgment and stuff. I don't need to hear all that stuff. I'm having a good time. I got a nice house. I got a four-car garage, 2 swimming pools. I got a little yacht over there by the harbor, right up there at the dock. I can go out anytime I want to. I can go to any supermarket, to any mall, and buy what I need. I'm well off. I don't need to hear that stuff. But Ezekiel says to them, he says, shall you then rejoice and make mirth? Make happy. When such a calamity is impending, but the rod and scepter of my son, Judah, rejoice and views with contempt every tree. That is, since God's promise long ago to Judah is certain, he believes Judah's scepter must remain no matter what power arises against it. This place is that God has already pronounced protection over it. There's people that God has pronounced protection over their lives. That doesn't matter what happened. I remember a story just come to me. Apostle Watson was saying that there was a tornado coming in the city that they were in. I don't know if it was Louisiana, but it just come to me. And he and Bishop started to pray and asked the Lord to move the tornado. And the tornado make a zigzag. My wife, she laughs all the time because I'm on the highway. I tell her, I said, the streets are zigzagging everywhere, honey. She'd be laughing. She said, they're zigzagging. I said, yeah. I said, baby, the streets are zigzagging. Just follow the street. Just watch the street. They're zigzagging. We don't know how they go, but they're zigzagging. Because you see a little sign up on the side of the road, it looked like a snake, you know, that said the street going to be winding in and out, crawling, you know. And I said, they're zigzagging, baby, they're zigzagging. Just follow the zigzag. But Pastor said, the tornado zigzagging went another place. It went another way. Because see, the places that God has already ordained, he'd already put his word on that street. Hallelujah. I got some people on that street. And I'm not going to let the tornado go. I'm not going to let the earthquake take them. Hallelujah. That's why we got to be a place that God has already ordained. We got to be a place that God ordained, that God has put his eyes on that area for protection. But when you look at, when you are and does it in a place that God has seen that he's going to destroy already, he's got his sword already drawn out the sheath, man, you got to stay away from that place. It's just a matter of time. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of time before God destroys the place. You got to get out that place, that area. People say, well, I'm down here on the French Quarters. I love living down the French Quarters. My house is just a block from the French Quarter, you know, and everything down here is very costly. So if I got to sell my house, I'm going to make buku money. Better sell it now and get over there.
Get out.
Because God eyes the gate, that place. Look at Genesis chapter 49. Verse 9 and 10. And then we come back. So, he says, Judah is a lion whelp from the prayer. My son, though I gone up, he stooped down, he crouched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? Who shall rouse him up? Ezekiel chapter 19 and verse 5 to 7. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the garrison of the people be. See, the people will come to the place that God has already ordained, the place that God has secured, the place that God has watching over, the people going to come there. We can't stop. We can't stop doing what we're doing. We got to continue doing what we're doing because God says the people coming there. They're coming. Hallelujah. They're going to come. Listen. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 19. And put up that scripture there quick, fast, and hurry. Ezekiel chapter 19, verse 5 to 7. See what God is saying. God is he's so awesome, man. I tell you, whoo, Lord Jesus, he just excites you because he don't do a thing without releasing it to the prophets. God does not say it. He said, don't say or do a thing without revealing it to the prophets. So we got to listen to what the prophets are saying. See what the prophets are. He said, Ezekiel 19, verse 5 to 7, he says, now when she saw that she had waited and her hope was lost, then she took another of her whelps and made him a young lion. And he went up and down among the lions. And he became a young lion and learned to catch the prey and devour men. And he knew their desolate places, and he laid waste their cities. And the land was desolate, and the fullness thereof, but the noise of his ruin, by the noise of his ruin, excuse me. Then the nation set against him on every side from the province and spread their net over him. He was taken in their pit. And they put him in ward, in chains, put him in prison, and brought him to the king of Babylon. They brought him into holes, that his voice should no more be heard upon the mountains of Israel. Now, here you said a prophet, but now you can see that as the Lord himself, how they took him before Pontius Pilate, for they tried to shut him down. Hallelujah. But they're going to try to shut the prophets down, the prophets that are preaching and teaching the truth. They're going to try to shut you down in your city, in your neighborhood. Because when you start to preach Jesus and you start to preach repentance, hope will come against you. You got to understand, even some girlfriends and boyfriends, co-workers and neighbor, neighbor is going to come against you when you start to preach, repent and preach against sin. Even when you say, I'm not preaching against you, I'm preaching against sin. I love you so much, but I hate the sin that you're doing. They're still going to get mad with you. Here in this book here, Ezekiel began to speak to them. And the Bible says, but the rod or scepter of my son, Judah, rejects the views with contempt every tree. That is, since God's promise long ago to Judah is certain, he believes Judah's scepter must remain, no matter what power arises against it. And the sword of Babylon is given to be polished, that it may be put to use. The sword is sharpened and polished to be given into the hand of the slayer. Oh, Lord Jesus. Not only that the sword is sharp to cut you going and coming, but the flash from the sword will burn you. It will blind you. You have a look at a bright car, a bright detailed car and nicely detailed in the sunshine. The glitter from it blinds you. You can't look at it. It's like the sun hit it to the car and bumps it off to your eyes. I got to put up my hand. Because there's a glare coming off that car. But that's going to happen to the sword. Listen what he says. Cry and wail, son of man. For it is against my people. It is against all the princes of Israel. They are strong to the sword. All along with my people. And terror by reason of the sword and are upon my people. Therefore smite your heart, your thigh in dismay. Therefore smite, hit your thigh in dismay. Can't believe that what's happening. Glory to God. For this sword has been tested and proved on others. Listen to God speaking through this prophet. The sword has been tried and tested. You understand? Glory to God. Hallelujah. And what if the rejecting and despising rod or scepter of Judah shall be no more but completely swept away, says the Lord God? Therefore, son of man, prophesy. Smite your hands together. Smite them together. And let the sword be double. Yes, treble intensity. The sword for intensity, the sword for those to be overthrown and pierced through. It is the sword of great slaughter, which encompasses them, so that none can escape. The sword is coming from every side. It encompasses them. No one can escape. Hallelujah. God is speaking so clearly. People are thinking today that because that they can go anywhere they want to go, that they have things in control. Things are under their control, but God said not. He said none can escape, even by entering into the inner chambers, even going into the bunkers. He talked about that the end there. He said, even by entering into the inner chambers, the bunkers, they said, if I go all down 30 feet underneath the ground, God can't reach me. The nuclear weapon can't pierce, but God can cause the nuclear weapon to pierce the bunker if he wants to take them out. He says, none shall escape. That's what God says. Hallelujah. Even by entering into the inner bunkers. I have set the threatening and glittering sword against all their gates, that their hearts may melt and their stumbling be multiplied. Ah! It is made to flash the sword like lightning. It is pointed and sharpened for slaughter. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, help us, Lord. Turn, O sword, and cut right or cut left. Excuse me. Whichever way your lust for blood and your edge direct you. Jesus, have mercy. The sword has a spur in it. Listen to what he's saying. Turn, O sword, and cut right or cut left. Whichever way you lust for blood and your edge direct you. Jesus, have mercy. I will also clap my hands and I will cause my wrath to rest. I, the Lord, have said it. The word of the Lord came to me again saying, also, son of man, mark out two ways by which the sword of the king of Babylon may come. Both shall come forth from the same land and make a signpost a hand and make it at the head of the way to a city. It's like today how we see street signs and they have a pointed a name on the street sign and then they have a point on the end of the street sign like an arrow. Telling that that's the name here is the street where the arrow is pointing. He says, put a hand pointing to the city. You shall point out a way for the Babylonians' sword to come to Rabbah, the capital of the son of Ammon, and to Judah with Jerusalem, the fortified and inaccessible. For this is for the strong cities, see? That think they have fortified, they have strengthened their cities, and God can't reach them. Hallelujah, glory to God. But Ezekiel is pointing out these things so clearly. Hallelujah. He claps his hands and slashes swords from left to right. What it means, the same message is conveyed as that of the second illustration. He draws a mark short, two rows, and a fork in the middle. What it means? This signifies that the king of Babylon will decide to attack Jerusalem before the Ammonite, capital city of Rabbah. God is already ordained and make a significant statement of which city he wants destroyed. He knows who is more evil than the next. God sees all. No one. And nothing can be hidden from him. He sees all. David said, if I go down to the hell, he is there. If I go to the ocean deep, he is there. If I run to the rocks, he's there. To the mountain high, he's there. Wherever I go, where can I go that he can't find me? God sees you. Everything. I'm just paraphrasing. He sees everything. Sometimes we think that, oh, because I studied the Bible so much, I can do this and do that. No, but God reminds us. I don't know about you all, but I know he reminds me in the nighttime, in the morning time, in the midday time of every error that I make. He reminds me. And he says, son, you need to correct this. You need to correct that. He don't let me get away with anything. I tell you the truth. Listen what he says. For the king of Babylon stands at the parting of the way, at the fork of the two ways, to use divination. He shakes the arrows to and fro. He consults the Nerathim, household gods. He looks at the liver. In his right hand is the lot mark for Jerusalem to set battering rams, to open the mouth calling for slaughter, to lift up the voice with a war cry, to set battering rams against the gates, to cast up siege mounds, and to build siege towers. Now, this Babylonian king is not only going against the people of God because God has allowed it. But he's also consulting other gods. He's consulting other satanic forces to help him to overcome the people of God. But God is allowing this because of the wickedness of his people. Hallelujah. He said, well, God, so God stand by and let his people be destroyed. God is bringing correction to them in a way that seems very harsh. But this is the way he does. What he did in the wilderness. Thousands upon thousands had to die in order for some to come to correction, come to realization that they are disobedient, that they're rebellious, that they have been committing abomination against God. Hold them against God. They were worshiping other idols, even God brought, though God brought them out of Egypt. They're worshiping a golden calf in the wilderness. Hallelujah. So God is not pleased. Today we got people that saying that they love God. They have a Mary statue, Mary inside their house. They have statues of Buddha in their homes because they believe if they worship Buddha that they're going to get rich. If they call to Mary, Mary going to send riches to them. It's a lie from the pit of hell. And we got to come back to the foundation that Jesus is Lord of all lords. He's king of all kings. And that there's no other way except through him. We got to come back to reality. Either you're living the truth or you're living a lie. It can't be two ways. It got to be only one way. Truth or lie. We got to make up that. And the Lord told me that. He said, look, son, you got to make up in your mind. Either you going to follow me 100%, but 99.5% is not going to do. And sometimes you say, well, I don't go anywhere. I'm home all the time. I don't even go to the grocery store. I don't even go to the gas station. You find all type of stuff to justify yourself. But you know what God is looking at? God is looking at our mind. He's looking at our hearts. How we thinking? How is the thought that we conjure up in our hearts, in our mind? God is judging us for that. He said, "Well, I don't do nothing to nobody, but you talk about people. You fuss about people. You do this and do that." And God is looking at us, and God said, "No, you got to clear your heart." You got to clear your heart. Allow me to give you a clean heart and right spirit. Don't allow people to draw you into their mess, your messes, into my messes. That's what God is saying. Now, look. Here he says, look, this is so powerful too. Glory to God. They get ready to break down the doors. The doors of the cities. These are God's cities. But God's allowing the Babylonian king to do this. He said, we're a Christian nation. Russia can't come here. We got all this and all that. You know, for the wickedness that we're causing up here in this nation, God can shut down all of the missiles that we have. He can shut down all the guns and stuff that we have in this country. And he can allow the enemy to come and cause us to fall to our knees. That we begin crying out to him for help. This is what Israel did. He drove them to their knees. He caused their enemies to bring them to their knees that they have to realize that he is the God that brought them out of Egypt. He says, the Babylonians began to talk to other gods. He said, and it shall seem like a lying divination to them who have sworn oaths of allegiance to Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 23, will he now fight against their homeland? Ask the question. But he will remind them of their guilt and iniquity in violating those oaths that they may be caught. Second Chronicles chapter 36 and verse 30, Ezekiel chapter 17 verse 15. Ezekiel verse 15. Ezekiel chapter 17, verse 15 and verse 18 to 21. This is all right there. How God drove them to their knees. You go back and read it for yourself. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have made your guilt and iniquities to be remembered, and that your transgressions are uncovered, so that in all your doings, your sins appear because I say, you have come to remembrance. You shall be taken with the enemy's hand. God allowed them to see their sin. And now God caused the enemy to take them into captivity. Do you hear what God is saying with the prophet? God allowed the enemy to take them. Now you see where you've been sinning against God. You've been down at the palm reader. You went down there with the tarot cards. You had the Ouija board. You was over there with the soothsayer. Hear me what I'm saying. You thought you had it worked out because you knew better than the great high priest or advocate or intercessor. You knew better. We knew better. So we can do our own thing and God is not going to do anything. This is what we were saying to God. And God said, okay, well, I'm gonna let you see all that nasty, filthy stuff you've been doing. I'm going to let you see it. And this is the reason why I have removed my hand from over you, protecting you all of these years, 430 years, I protected you while you was in Egypt. And I brought you out of Egypt after all that you've been through. And I give you manna from heaven. I give you water out of the rock. Oh, you had honey when there was no honey. I had everything made up for you. And you turned your back on me. But now I'm going to let you see where you have sinned against me, where you proclaim to be children of God, but at the same time, you were serving the devil. I want you to see. And I'm going to let the devil take you captive, the Babylonian kings. Hear what God is saying. It's in the message. You got to look deep in the message and see what God is saying. Don't go letter for letter. Go in the spirit. See what God is saying. And then he says here, he said to them, oh, my Lord Jesus, are you all dishonored and wicked one, Zephaniah, the prince of Israel, whose day will come at the time of your final reckoning and punishment. See how God responded to this leader, Zephaniah. He says, are you? God is speaking to him in a very drastic way. He said, and you, Zedekiah, all dishonors and wicked one, Zedekiah, the prince of Israel, whose day will come at the time of your final reckoning and punishment. Thus says the Lord God, remove the high priest, mitre, or headband, and take off the king's crown. God is stripping him. Listen to this. They shall not remain as they have been. The low is to be exalted and the high to be brought low. You hear what God's saying? Honor the position that you're in. Honor it. Don't take it lightly. Under the position that you're in. He said the law shall be exalted and the high shall be brought low. I will overthrow it. Hear what he's saying three times. I will overthrow it. This also shall be no more until he comes whose right it is to reign in judgment and in righteousness. I want you to know what God is saying. This is Father talking. And who is going to reign? Jesus. Woo, Jesus. And I will give it to him. Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 to 4. Daniel chapter 7, verse 14. Luke chapter 1, verse 31 to 33, talking about Jesus. And you, son of man, talking to Ezekiel, prophesy and say, thus says the Lord God concerning the sons of Ammon and concerning their reproach, say, his sword is drawn for the slaughter. It is polished to cause it to devour to the uttermost and to the flash like lightning. while they see for you false visions, while they divine lies for you to lay you of a man, upon the headless trunks of those who are slain, of the wicked whose day is coming, at the time of the final reckoning and punishment, return the sword to its sheath. In the place where you were created, in the land of your origin and of your birth, I will judge you. I will pour out my indignation upon you, O sons of Ammon. I will blow upon you with the fire of my wrath, and will deliver you into the hand of brutal men, careful of this to destroy. You shall be for fuel to the fire. Your blood shall be in the midst of the land. You shall be no more remembered, for I, the Lord, have spoken it. Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 1 to 6. Ezekiel chapter 1, chapter 25, verse 1 to 7. Amos chapter 1, verse 13 to 15. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 8 to 11. Let's go to Romans 25. This is the last scripture we'll do. Romans chapter 25. And let's come out the NLT. Romans chapter 25. Glory to God. Get this book outright. Hallelujah. And we ain't here. This computer is acting up, but it's all right. Romans. Computer don't even want to pull up there. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 1. Not 25. Romans chapter 1. 25. Let's start at verse 25. I think it says, yes. 21. Let's start at verse 21. 21. And God is speaking. He says, Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. This is the New Living Translation. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Verse 22. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. Verse 23. And instead of worshiping the glorious ever-living God, they worship idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desire. As a result, they did vile, degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. Here in this book, the people believe what they want to believe. They have set their mind to please themselves. I want you to see this. He says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to the corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who change the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, verse 28 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to those things which are not convenient. God allowed them to do things that are not worthy. They're not convenient. They're not worth doing. They bring shame to man. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, He abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. A man should never sleep with another man. A woman should never have an intercourse with another woman. But God allowed them to do the things that should never be done. He says here in this text, they are backstabbers. Listen to what he says. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behaviors, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. No, this is all happening that we've seen. Abomination after abomination. They're rebellious to the things of God. Remember, we say this. The rebellion and abomination after abomination. Constantly they do it after and after and after. We got a third part we'll come back with, but we'll stop here today. This is Sunday. Everybody want to get with their family, cook and eat and relax. Watch the ball game. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word today. We know Apostle, I think she have an appointment tomorrow. We'll come in tomorrow. So, Father, we just thank you, God. We just thank you and bless you, Lord, for this woman of God, this woman of man of God, Deacon Fraser. We thank you for we being able to be come on here today and just break bread as you give us a straight from the book, Lord. Straight from the book, without any type of notes at all, Lord, we came in and we deliver this word as you give us utterance. And Lord, we pray as the word go forth today that somebody near or far might hear this word, and this word might convict them to want to live better, knowing that the end is closer than when we first began. Closer than when we first began. I know, because last night I was looking at my life and I was saying I'm 73. God give us 70, 3 score and 10. I'm 73. Give me a little extra. And I was thinking, laying on the bed, I've asked the Lord for 106 when I was a little boy. I don't know the reason why that number came into me, but I said, Lord, I'd like to live to 106 years old, and I'd like to be healthy in my right mind. And I was just looking. I said, it takes me 33 more years to reach where I asked God for. And it's possible. God can do it. But as you look at your body, you examine your body, you see the little ailments and the little pains and stuff and the arthritic pains and the nerve pains that hit up, you kind of think, but God is still able. And I kept telling myself last night, laying on the bed, I said, God is still able. Even with the nerve pain, the arthritic pain, and heart pain, a lung pain, a kidney pain, liver pain, or any kind of pain in my body, God is still able. So I just, Lord, I just thank you. Just thank you for God who controls everything and knows all things, who can do all things. Lord, I ask you to bless the airways, the north, the south, the east, and the west today. And as this word going forth, Lord, we know that it's accomplishing. It's already working, Lord God. It's working in the atmosphere. It's going into homes right now, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we know it will not return void, but it will accomplish what you sent it to do today. And every day that we come on here on this blog talk, we thank you, Lord. And Deacon, forgive me. I fell asleep last night, yesterday evening. Didn't get up till about 1:30. Didn't get up till 1:30. I was tired. Even my baby, she went asleep last night. She says, I got to go in early. She says, I was tired. Still catching up from that drive, but we will be with you. As the Lord said, the same. I think next Sunday I'll have you bring a word if you have time. But the line now, Bishop, if you're on, you can come and do a prayer of salvation. Then we open the line. If anybody have a word to say or add to what we said. Whew, glory to God. Jesus, thank you. Bishop Fall also. We just thank the Lord for this day and thank the Lord for what he has done. It is a good day.
I'm here, Apostle. I'm sorry I kept it off by accident. Good day to everyone.
Okay.
Praise the Lord God Almighty. For all who have not received Jesus as their Savior, please do it today. I urge you. I really urge you to do it. Do not know when the Lord will require our souls. Don't take a chance on eternal damnation. Please, I urge you from the bottom of my heart to please accept Jesus as Lord and Savior.
Hallelujah.
And for the prodigal sons and daughters, come back home. Rededicate your life to Christ Jesus. He is the only way, and you know it. And for those who have never received Jesus, you must take this pledge, and it's in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. And it simply says, what does it say? It says the word is near you. It's in your mouth. You must speak it out. You must speak out and ask God, Jesus, come into my heart. Please take me under your wings of glory. I want to be saved. I want eternal life with you, Jesus. I want to be saved. Take me. And if you believe, and you must believe in your heart, what you just said, verse 8, and you must speak it out because it says the word is near you, it's in your mouth, so you must speak it. The enemy cannot read your thoughts. You can only inject evil thoughts into your mind. Okay. Now, if you believe, verse 9, it says, if you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, you are now saved. And you must repent. You know, whatever you were doing or whatever condition you were in, whatever. If you're an alcoholic, if you're using drugs, if you're fornicating, if you're committing adultery, stop it. Don't do it any further. If you're living with somebody, you must contact that person and tell them either we get married or we have to split up. You know, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And try very hard not to sin anymore. And if you feel tempted to sin, ask the Holy Spirit to come in and help you to resist. Resist the enemy and he shall flee. That's the word. Now, your next step, if you've never been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we do here on Blog Talk Radio, it's in the book of Acts. And it says in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38 through 40, that you must, and what Peter said to the people who to be baptized, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. He's the only way. The only way is Jesus Christ. I apologize. The only way is through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. There's no other way to be saved except through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. If you go further into the book of Acts, chapter 4, beginning at verse 10 through 12, you can read it for yourself. It says, there's no other name mentioned under heaven that mankind shall be saved. No other name except the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He's the only way. Take heed. We are in, while they were saying perilous times, we are in the last days. Pay attention to what's going on all over the world. There's people being murdered, slaughtered by the dozens. People like the Russians are killing all these people in the Ukraine. They're shooting and killing thousands upon thousands of people. There's dreaded diseases that's plaguing the earth. We're in the last days. Jesus is on his way back. He's going to return, and it seems like it's going to be very soon. Don't take a chance. Please, I urge you, please accept Jesus as your Savior today. Don't hesitate. Don't say, well, I'm going to do it next week or day after tomorrow. And like I said, you must say it out loud so the enemy can hear you. Accept him today. You don't have to be in a church house. In your mouth, as it says in the book of Romans, chapter 10, at verse 8, that your redemption is in your mouth. Speak it. And let the enemy know that you're not in his camp anymore. You're with Jesus Christ. Our blessed Savior. Now I want to congratulate everyone, in the sound of my voice, everyone who has received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and really and truthfully mean it. And everyone who is a prodigal son or daughter was a prodigal son and daughter. You've come back home. I believe that. I truly believe that. Now, I want to say God bless each and every one of you, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart, hallelujah, that you have decided to take Jesus as your Savior. God bless you and your family. Hallelujah. And it'll be worth it. Oh, God, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. You accept Jesus as your Savior, and you'll be baptized in his holy, precious name. God bless. Have a wonderful day.
God bless you. Thank you so much, Apostle Bishop. Thank you. I am laughing, yeah. Bishop. Can you listen? Yeah. Every time you... Every time you say, God bless everyone, little dog say, yes.
Yes.
Little dog, like you say, yes, yes, he say, yes.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
Little dog say, yes, yes.
That's she received it too. As the deacon is speaking. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm the apostle. I think animals can see in the spirit. I do believe.
Believe they can. That's right.
Yeah, they can. If the evil person comes around, they know it. You know, they know it.
Okay.
They can feel that.
Yeah, the Lord told me last night. It's strange that the dog is barking this morning and saying yes, but I was saying last night, I was laying on the bed, about 1:45, somewhere around there. I wake up from sleeping, and the Lord began to talk to me about animals. And one of the things he told me, I tell you no lie, Apostle. I was wondering why dogs, some people come to a house and the dogs are very calm, and other people come, the dog loses his senses. And I asked the Lord, why the dogs act like that? And he said the dogs can tell that a person has fear or anger inside of them by their heartbeat. The dog can hear the person's heartbeat. I said, whoa, that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense. That makes sense. He said that the dogs can hear their heart. Your heartbeat. While your heart is beating, dog know when you're going through something, when you're having fear or anger or anything. I said, well, that makes sense. The Lord spoke to me last night. Because I was wondering about that. I said, how the dog just lose it? Just lose it. You ain't did nothing to that dog. That dog had never seen you before. And dog lose it. Can't see you the first time. The dog is
They know. They know. And I tell you something else. Baby will go to some people, other people, they scream, they holler, they don't want to be that person. You never seen that person. Don't go to that person. You know, cut up. The next person will say, where's the mother or the father, give me the baby. And then somebody else will come along for the first time, and the baby go right to them, no problem. The babies, I think because they are so pure in heart, I believe. The babies, they don't know sin. They don't know how to sin. They're not sinning, you know. But I really believe that they can sense when people are not right. You know, I can't.
That's right.
Well, I'm gonna let you go, Apostle. Oh, and I pray in the name of Jesus that everyone receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior today and each and every day. That every time I say it, it sounds like a broken record, but it'll keep your record straight.
Thank you so much. Glad we could come on today and break a word and release a word from the Lord today. I was blessed on this word. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the word. Pastor, you have anything you want to tell?
Amen. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Apostle, for that word. Hallelujah. Come on, slap me. Go ahead. She's ready to play. She slapped you with her paw.
She wants to play.
Yeah, she wants to play.
Yeah, she wants to play.
That's what it is. Well, I'm not ready to play. Anyway, thank you, Apostle. The word was wonderful. It was fire. It was, again, the servant of God, our leader, is confronting, just like Ezekiel, through the word of God. There's confrontation. You know, we confront. We're not going to be quiet. You know, we can't be quiet. We have to just let the word go, let it go. Whatever God has put into our spirit, we got to let it go, regardless to who doesn't like it, hurt their feelings. And you always say that we hate the sin, but we love the sinner. We love the people. We love them. And you always make that very clear. And that's where the compassion comes out. Hallelujah. So you were very compassionate in your message. You were very forthright. You see, Ezekiel, he spoke honestly and directly, and that's what you did. He spoke honestly and directly to the problem. He's a man of God. He's the mouthpiece of God. And so when you're speaking the word of God, of course you're going to be forthright. You're going to be honest. Hallelujah, because it's the word of God. And this is what you did today. You were very honest about it. But confronting the issue is something that some people feel like they don't have an issue. They don't have an issue with sin, or they don't have an issue with the disobedience at all. They feel like it's okay because I can say, God forgive me, covered me in his blood. A lot of them do believe that. I'm covered in the blood. The Lord did. The Lord covered sin. Hallelujah. He came, hallelujah, to help people. He came to deliver us from all evil. Amen. That's why he shed his blood, not for you to go do evil whenever you feel like it and then say, oh, God, I know I'm covered with your blood. Oh, God, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. I just thank you I'm covered in your blood. You didn't think about the blood when you were doing what you were doing. So, you know, you were very, very, and all the time when you preach, you know, you preach with authority, you preach with fire, and you preach with compassion, and that is so necessary. We can hear the compassion in your voice. We can hear the love in your voice. But we also hear the sternness. We also hear the seriousness in your voice. And that's how it was with Ezekiel. That's how it was with the prophets of God. He sent them to give a message, and he gave it, whether the people were going to like it or not. We got to do what God says to do. We're not worried about the people's feelings. Amen. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But it's better to get your feelings hurt and to clean up the mess than to end up going to a place called the fire of hell. Amen. So Ezekiel spoke And he told them what the consequences of their behavior would be. He let them know, he didn't pull no punches. He was just straight right out. Hallelujah. He was right out, and that's what you are. That's the way you are. You come right out with it, not sparing no feelings, because we can't be emotional in this war. We can't be emotional. We can't just follow our feelings. Hallelujah. The feeling is that I got to do what God says to do. That's the feeling we got to follow. I got to do what God says to do, and I'm going to do it. Glory be to God, because God says that I must do it. Amen. And so, but here's the thing that God always does. He always gives words of comfort, even when God rebukes, even when God sent a message through his prophets or a message through his preachers and the ministers. There's always a word of compassion. There's always a word of hope, always words of love. Hallelujah. And that's how God is. He's still a kind, loving God. Even when God is giving out a message or a warning, he's still giving us hope, because that's it. That gives us hope. I got a chance to get it right. I have a chance to get my life together because God is warning me, and I know what I'm doing. I know that I'm wrong. And all we have to do is correct it. So I heard all of that in the message. Hallelujah. And another thing, He's not asking us to do outlandish things, because God does the supernatural. All we have to do is what God calls us to do. Yeah. Just go and say what he said, do what he says. And that's what I was hearing in the messages, all in the messages. Do what God says. Be obedient. And then you won't come under this divine judgment. You'll get a judgment, all right. It's either a good one in your favor, or it's one that's not good at all. But it's good because it's a correction. Hallelujah. God will bring us through some judgment. But you were saying, God, you said something about the sword that I didn't know. I never thought about it. When the sword is shining, it blinds you. That throws you off guard right there. When the light reflects on that sword, it's a blinding. You don't know. We're scared. Hi, Bishop. And I didn't know that. I learned something new today.
I didn't know about it.
I didn't even think about it. And so as we hear the word, and you know, it made me think, well, that'll throw you off guard. That'll make you go back and hold, and you know, and you said to put your hand over your face, you know, because it's the light is so strong, and then that'll throw you off guard right there. But there's no need to even thinking about it. You're off guard completely when you're in sin. You're already off guard. Amen. And God will get you. You can't hide, can't run from God. He will get you. Hallelujah. And cut people off. So either we take the warning, take it.
Too high, you can't get over.
Take it, correct it. Because warning comes before destruction. You know, that's what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. But God always ends with a word of comfort. Always gives us a word of hope. Hallelujah. And that's what you do when you preach. Hallelujah. You preach with love. You preach with compassion. And you preach with that hopefulness in your voice. There's hope. There's hope in Jesus. Amen. And that's what God looks for in the leader. All these things, these are godly attributes. All these things is what God is looking for in a leader. We have to be compliant. We have to be compassionate. We have to be full of love. And we have to give people hope. Amen. We cannot be quiet. We cannot be quiet like Lot was. Lot got in trouble. Lot was quiet.
That's right.
He was too quiet. He felt like, okay, I know I'm a good man. I'm all right. I'm a good man, but I'm not going to say nothing to nobody else. My God, but I'm a good man. I got mine. I know I'm righteous, you know, but look what happened. I don't even know if the brother-in-law, the son-in-law was saved. I don't know, but
The son-in-law died in Sodom and Gomorrah, too. They died because they didn't want to come out.
They didn't want to come out. They stayed in Sodom.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
The first thing they said that Lot was joking, remember? They mocked Lot.
Lot is joking. You must be joking, man. You must be crazy.
Yeah, they did say he was joking. Yeah.
Yeah, this is not going to happen. This place is not going to be destroyed. And then, like I said, Lot was lingering, too, because he wasn't ready to give all that up either. He wasn't ready. He wanted all that stuff. That's why he went there in the first place. And then the wife, it was worse for her. So this is what it is. We got to give it up and know that God is the restorer. So whatever you got to lose, let it go. Let it go, and God will restore. God will give us the beauty. Then feel so good. It feels so good to be able to do anything you feel like you want to do. It feels good. Then the devil makes it like that. He makes it feel like that.
Yeah.
And all the while, you're going down, but it still feels good.
That's right.
You're going down, and God is watching. And you say, God is not on the beach somewhere. I wanted that. I had to make sure the phone was muted because I was laughing. God is not on the beach somewhere laying back, you know, having him a potty or something. No kind of way. He's not laying back. He owns all the beaches, that's for sure. But he's watching the beaches. You know, he's not lying down and resting on the beach, but he does rest. Amen. But after he created everything on the seventh day. He rested, amen.
Right.
And that's when he rests, but he ain't resting from watching. Don't think God not watching on the seventh day. Hallelujah. He's still watching.
That's right.
But Jesus said that I am the Sabbath, amen. So honor the Sabbath.
Yeah.
Glory be to God. Honor
that's
Jesus,
because
he said I am the Sabbath, meaning that we can rest in him, amen. We can rest in
that's
the
right.
Lord. We can give our lives to God. And not worry about the evil, not fret over the evildoers. We just give our lives to Jesus Christ and we rest. He says, I am the Sabbath. Amen. So, Apostle, thank you. Thank you so much for your love.
Thank you all for coming on today, yes.
Amen. Mm. Hallelujah. So it was very,
congratulations with Peter Gettys' apartment. I tell you, that was such a blessing to hear Peter Gettys' apartment. And I was happy
great
to hear
stuff.
That. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been praying and we thank God for all of the prayers. Glory be to God. And, you know, we just have to wait and pull back and let God do it. Amen. Just pull back. Have confidence in God and ask God to give us the courage to stand and do all to stand and wait. Although I was asking God to speedily do it, I knew God would do it in his own time. Because the wait is for all of us to know that God is going to come. He's going to come.
That's right.
If we wait patiently on the Lord, he's going to come. And so God will test our patience. He will do that. Hallelujah. He'll test our faith and test our patience. But, praise God. Thank God for that. Thank you, Apostle. We're gonna go now. Everybody's got to get going. You know, like I said.
Yeah, let's Bishop close us out. We'll talk to you all later. You got an appointment tomorrow, right?
No, I don't. I can do tomorrow. No, I have to cancel because my town. They're out of town. They're on a long vacation. So I have to cancel my appointment. I have one to get my injection in.
So are you going to do part three of the message, or you got a new topic?
No, I'll just do part three.
Yep.
I'll do part
three.
Part three. All right.
Okay.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Close us up, Bishop. Thank you so much.
Hallelujah.
You go ahead and rest your voice more. Rest your stuff.
Will do.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Amen. God bless everyone who showed up on the line today. May the message resonate in your hearts and your mind. So now unto him that is able to keep us from falling, and to present us faultless in the presence of his glory, through the only wise God, the power, glory, dominion, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Bishop. I will see you all on tomorrow. Have a blessed day with your grandson and the little puppy. Say yes to Jesus. Well, you know, before you go, let me tell what I just heard just now. You know that Kanye West, he need to go to a doctor. He lost $1.2 billion in one day. Now they say he did his last two recordings was one recording saying he's God, and the second recording CD he made saying that he's Jesus, calling himself Jesus. You know, these people are some mess, man. Money got them crazy. You know,
so that's
the way this stuff is coming back on him so much. Because he called himself God and making fun of God and Jesus and stuff. So this is where the stuff is coming back. You know, I don't feel for him at all. I really don't. I really don't feel for him. Because, you know, people let money turn them stupid, you know. Money make them become stupid. I don't feel for him at all. Well, I will see you all tomorrow. Have a blessed evening. Safe evening. You know, we love you, but God love you more. All right?
Hallelujah.
Bye-bye.
Same to you. Same to you, Apostle.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right. Bye-bye.